If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jake, what on earth could you tell us about this next guest, please?
This young man hails from Overland Park, Kansas. He was a proud member of Arts Mexican Products Little League Baseball team.
What position did he play?
I think he was a second baseman, maybe. Second or shortstop, maybe. I don't know.
Slick fielding middle infielder?
Middle infielder. Like to go the other way.
Whoa. Oh.
Hit opposite field.
Opposite field hitter.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. Went to Shy Mission South and went to Kansas. University of, right, Nate?
Yes.
Followed in Nate.
Yeah.
Nate Buchady's footsteps.
He used to cover the Royals, I remember.
He did?
Yeah, he used to sit in this guest chair once a week.
He's got a beautiful family.
And then he went to the big city. Olathe.
No.
Not what?
Olathe.
Olaf.
Where's he at now?
He's in New York. He's from New York.
New York City.
New York City.
And a man who used to frequent Caddyshack. Because he liked the pizza,
right.
That's why.
Live down by the River Market.
Hello, Rustin Dodd. How are you?
Steven, Nate, Jake, I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Do you wish you could have some Caddyshack pizza right now?
Oh, well, yes.
Yes, that's right. Right now.
I would love some Caddyshack pizza.
Well,
I tweeted this the other day. You know what I really miss? It sounds crazy, but Mr. Good Sense, you can't get anything like that in New York. So,
well, that's a lesson to the people here in Kansas City. Wow. You know, don't take things for granted that Rustin can't have in New York. I get it. How often do you come back to KC?
Well, in normal times, a lot more than now.
Right.
But I'm actually coming home in May, but I haven't been home since October.
Well, maybe you can stop by and say hello. How about that?
I would love to, yeah.
Rustin, right now the Royals fans are going crazy over Salvador Perez and the Royals. It's a love affair right now because the Royals are in first place. How crazy are Yankees fans going over the New York Yankees? Is that a love affair also right now?
It seems to be, yeah. I think there's some good feelings. I'm looking at the stats right now, Steven. The Yankees, through 15 games, are hitting .210 as a team. And their OPS is .642. I think they're dead last in baseball. So, you know, that's not great. They're 5-10, and their fans are throwing things onto the field.
Right.
So it's been that kind of start for them.
That's one of the important things I wanted to talk about because the Royals will face the Rays tonight, and the Rays just swept the Yankees. In one of the games, the fans were so angry at the Yankees that they started firing baseballs onto the field. And so, I mean, it's the second week of the season, so things are rolling. I mean, it's that bad. I mean, New York, that's a different breed of fan also, but they're firing things on the field during games.
Yeah, well, there were people had baseballs. I don't quite understand. This was the other night on Friday, and they were, I don't know why so many fans had baseballs. It was kind of bizarre to me. You know, there's not that many fans in the stands to begin with, and a lot of people had baseballs, more than you would think.
Well, not anymore. They're gone now.
Yes, yeah. Well, but like, so I think it's a couple of things, right? So it's New York, it's Yankees fans. They're sometimes a little bit unreasonable about their expectations, and they're not afraid to voice it when things go wrong. I think it's been building for like a few years, right? Because they've had this young core that has been set up to win. They added Garrett Cole. You know, they've got Giancarlo Stanton from the Marlins in a big trade. You know, they looked like they were this budding, if not a dynasty or anything like that, at least a team that could finally win another World Series. They haven't been to the World Series since 2009. I think Yankees fans have seen this window of this chance with this core kind of start to fade away a little bit. And I think they look old, you know, like it's amazing in baseball how quickly teams can get old and how quickly teams emerge. You know, I think you're seeing it with the Royals, right? I mean, it's, you know, it's been they've been in this down cycle, and now you can finally see them coming around. And if you look around at, like, you know, a team like, for instance, the Twins, I'm like looking at them. They're a team that they've been contending the last 2 years, and they seem like they can contend, you know, for the next two or three. But we might turn around tomorrow, and they might look really old with their core that's been really good. And that's kind of the deal with the Yankees, where it's like you've turned around in a year or two, and Aaron Judge, he doesn't look as young as he used to. DJ LeMay, who's on the other side of 30. Giancarlo Stanton's always hurt. You know, they've got these star players who are older than you think, and you know, there's some of their other core players, like Aaron Hicks he's had Tommy John surgery, he's not young. Brett Gardner's still around. Like they suddenly became this old team kind of overnight, and I think fans have felt like they've sort of wasted this opportunity. And then the other thing is, like, I think just nothing looks worse on a baseball field than a team that's not hitting. You know, it's like if you talk to Yankees fans right now, or if you listen to them, they're like, it's not that they're losing, it's the way they're playing. They just look lifeless. But it's like, yeah, well, of course they look lifeless. Nobody's getting a hit, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's those streaks where the Royals, you know, would not go, you know, get a hit or score, you know, more than a run or two for a week or, you know, 10 days. And everybody's like, they look terrible. It's like, well, yeah, they do. They're not scoring any runs. I think it's just a combination of that and it being early in the season and people being a little bit overreactionary. I think they're going to be fine, and they're going to contend in the AL East. They have too much talent, but I do think that their days of being a juggernaut, 100-win team are over, and they have sort of squandered this little window with this core they had.
But it makes it better that the Rays just kicked their ass, because that really irritates Yankee fans, and we're going to see the Rays, who are an excellent organization, and they make great moves and great trades, and they do things. It's fun to watch them succeed at the expense of the Yankees, especially. I know it's early, and I've been told that 45 times already in the past couple of days. But you know, you talk about the East, and here you have Tampa, and that's why I think it's such an important series for the Royals early on to kind of measure themselves up against the Rays. That's a much different approach to baseball than what the Yankees are, but the Rays are an excellent example of getting the most out of their resources, and not only competing, but competing for championships. At least, you know, getting there, getting to the verge of winning. They didn't win at all, but the hell of a season last year.
Yeah, I think from the Yankees' perspective, they see the Rays and they say, well, okay, our payroll is, you know, sometimes four times as much as their payroll, you know, sometimes maybe just double depending on the year. And, you know, look at these pieces that they have in the bullpen, or look at their, you know, what they do with, you know, these younger guys coming up and filling in and being, you know, three or four win WAR players. And you're like, we have all this money. Why can't we identify those guys? You know, yeah, we can go out and sign Gerrit Cole, and we can, you know, develop, you know, and go out and get DJ LeMahieu when he's kind of undervalued, and we can find some guys, but we're not doing what they're doing. And I think, you know, I think the Dodgers in that sense in baseball have sort of changed the game, right? In that they do the Rays way with the Yankees payroll, and that's why they're, you know, the best organization I think in baseball. And then I think so that it kind of, you know, you've got, if you're a team like a big market team, you look at the Rays and you look at the Dodgers and you say, okay, we're doing it neither way the best way. We're spending money, and but we're not doing it, we're not getting, you know, the gains that the Rays are getting, and you know, these other big market teams like the Dodgers are doing it better than we are.
Is it also I have to be honest, I'm listening to some of this and thinking, like, is anybody gonna be stunned if the Yankees aren't, like, in contention by the All-Star break? I mean, like...
Oh, I mean, yeah, I mean, I think they might be in contention by June 1st, but yeah, like, they've got, like, a loaded lineup, and they're going to score a ton of runs, and they're going to just outscore teams, and, you know, I think there's nothing, you know, like you see games when the Royals play, you know, in New York, how small that ballpark is. But like when you watch it day after day, it is incredible how small Yankee Stadium is, especially when you come from watching daily games at Kauffman and how big that place is. Like it's almost like they're playing a different sport. I mean, the Yankees hit fly balls that go out of the park like every single day. And they have a team to do that. So like they're going to start hitting home runs and start scoring a ton of runs, and they're probably going to be, you know, like if they don't win the AL East, I'd be really shocked if they weren't at least a wild card team.
Looks like a bunch of guys that can't stay healthy.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, if they have a lot of injuries and the bottom falls out, you know, we'll see. But they, you know, the most amazing stat in baseball, or one of them that I think is a little bit underrated, the Yankees have not had a sub 500 season since 1993. You know,
wow.
When you're Nate, you'll, I guess you can sort of appreciate it, or at least more than Steven, but it's like when you're around the Yankees a little bit and you see some of these stats, the first thing I always think of is like Kansas basketball, just with some of like the numbers that you're just like, you have to look again and be like, wait, is that right? You know, like, is that like, they haven't been under 500 in 28 years. And, or, you know, like they've gone to the playoffs this many times. It's like, you know, when you look and like, what, they haven't lost on senior day in 40 years. Like,
you know what,
what's going on there? Like, it's that kind of thing. And so I'll be shocked if they're not in contention.
Rustin, you're right. Nate does appreciate that more than I do. You nailed that one.
He's read the room well on that. I just, like, when you were talking about the problems with the Yankees, you mentioned, are they getting old in front of our eyes?
Fans are firing baseballs at them. Come on.
Look,
this is fun.
That's, I love that because, hey, we here in Kansas City can get as excited as we want about this good start to the season because we know what the reality is, and we're going to enjoy it as much as we can.
What's the reality over there? What are you talking about?
That it's really early. You know, we know that, but we're going to have fun with it because we don't have this arrogance that the Yankees fans have that, you know, it's their God-given right to an above 500 record. And
the Yankees need a guy like Salvador Perez, basically.
But, like, when you were talking about them being old and stuff, and you mentioned Judge, I was like, gosh, maybe is Judge already over? He's only 28 years old. Like, that's...
Thank you, my friend.
Right in the prime of his career.
He gets hurt all the time.
He does get hurt a lot.
He's an old 28-year-old. He's the quick twitch guy who has got a lot of muscle issues.
Stanton's 31. He's falling apart.
Yeah, he's falling apart.
You guys got to pay. Like, you know, I mean, there's plenty of reasons why. Who knows?
Huh.
But like you said it right. They're old, 29 and 31. They can't ever stay off the DL. Right? I mean, that's part of it.
I don't know. Things flip quickly. I mean, I'm watching the Royals from afar. And
yes, you are.
You know, it's like, you know, the Blue Jays look frisky and the Royals look good. And, you know, Greg Holland and Wade Davis are closing out games. And I'm like, what is it, 2015? Like,
maybe.
What is going on here? Like, you know, it's like, you know, this, you know, the years have piled up and it's like 5 or 6 years removed from, you know, and you realize like, okay, the Royals should be good, right? You know, they should be kind of turning the corner. They've had, you know, 3 or 4 years of a down cycle, and this is how it works in baseball, or at least it should. You know, the general timeline, I think, for a lot of teams is like that 4 to 6 year period to take your lumps a little bit and rebuild the farm system and make some savvy moves. And then, yeah, you've got a team that can contend. So I think the Royals, not to say that they should be good, that seems maybe a little strong, but, you know, like, it makes sense that they're where they're at. At least from my perspective out here, not seeing it every day.
But you can appreciate, like, you mentioned Salvi and, you know, Wade Davis and Holland, but this is right now Salvi's world. We're just living in it. He signs the extension that's going to keep him in a Royals uniform likely for the rest of his career. This week, like on Monday, he goes 4 for 4, hit number 1,000. Tuesday, the walk-off pickoff, guns a guy down at third base that end the game. Wednesday, a double, a go-ahead home run. On Saturday, a walk-off home run. Yesterday, nothing game, you know, late innings, two-run home run, go ahead, and they win 2-0. He had an unbelievable week. He had an unbelievable year last year offensively. And we've been talking about this. I know I'm sure it's surprising for people that thought, oh, man, all these innings he's catching, it's going to catch up to him, and, you know, he's going to wear down, talking about, you know, guys being old at 30 or 31. But he missed all of 2019 because of Tommy John surgery. He had the abbreviated season. And it really looks like not having to catch all those games in 19 and 20 have left him rejuvenated, and he's fresh. And he is, I mean, he's as a hitter, when has he been better? Never. I mean, and you remember when Salvi came up. You were here when we went through this, and Salvi became one of the faces of the franchise. How surprised are you, or are you, that Salvador Perez is playing at this level in 2021?
No, so I think you hit it on the head that I think that 2019 season off and then having a light season last year is seems to really have rejuvenated him in the way you put it, and given him fresh legs, and he looks healthy and really locked in. I think, he had those long years in 2014, 2015, and, not to bring it back to the Yankees, but, it's like he was catching all those games in the postseason. I think in 2016 and 2017, he looked even kind of older than his age, you might say, just because of how worn down he was from catching all those games. And he looked tired a lot of times. He would never admit that, but I think and if you look at the numbers offensively, he was a little bit down, in those kind of 2016, 2017, 2018 range, just the amount of pitches he was chasing and the rates he was getting on base. I think there's definitely something there. I think, we're talking obviously about small sample sizes. I think it's 37 games last year, and the Royals played 16 so far this year. But the really positive sign to me is that if you look at his OPS plus and his OPS, it's almost the exact same in those 37 games last year as it is the first, 16 this year. I think it's his OPS plus is 160, which is, that's Hall of Fame level for a catcher, but so it's probably not going to stay that high. And he'll get tired and worn down a little bit, but the fact that it lines up, that's a really good sign to me that he's basically, I know it's 37 games and 16, small sample, but that, that maybe he is that guy he was last year, or at least closer to that than he was, 2016, 2017 Salvi when he was struggling. He's healthy, but I do wonder, maybe he found something else, maybe something else clicked, offensively, because he definitely looks this is the best. Even when he came up, he kind of tore it up a little bit at the plate and was better than people would have thought. But I don't know that he's ever looked this good.
Yeah, I mean, he seems to be incredible right now. Hey, Russell, I'm curious, we talk about the Yankees' problems there in New York. The flip side, the Mets are in first place. And they've got new ownership and all that. They're usually the team that everybody in New York likes to make fun of because of how inept they are. What's the city reaction been like to the Mets so far?
Yeah, the Mets are sort of they kind of remind me of the Kansas Missouri is not a great comparison, but they are sort of like Missouri fans in the sense that they are just constantly always waiting for something to go wrong. Or, even a little bit like Chiefs fans, although, I think, because the Chiefs before Patrick Mahomes is not a bad comparison because, the Mets have had success, right? They haven't been they've been to the World Series in 2000, 2015.
They got beat.
They're in contention. They're just always ready for something to go wrong or for their heart to get broken. And that's just sort of the general vibe around the Mets. They're kind of a fascinating fan base. If you spend a lot of time around New York, they feel like kind of a small market fan base, plopped in this kind of big market. Just the way that they are a little bit more dedicated to the team, and then the way they kind of react to things. But anyway, but yeah, the team, I did not voice this opinion because I don't really necessarily cover these teams on a daily basis quite like I did the Royals, although I do follow them really closely and write about them. But heading into the season, I just sort of had a suspicion that the Mets might be better than the Yankees because they do have what looks to be a little bit of a younger core. I mean, their offense with Pete Alonso and Jeff McNeil and Michael Conforto, I mean, these guys can all produce, and then you add Lindor to the equation. Really, the only question in the last few years is what's really held them up has been their bullpen. You know, they traded for Edwin Diaz in 2019, and he was awful. But he was better last year in 2020 in a small sample, and he looks to be kind of that lockdown closer again. So they have him kind of in the back, and the rest of their bullpen is a little kind of cold together. It's not great. But when you have Jacob deGrom at the top of the rotation, and then you have, you know, Carlos Carrasco's hurt right now, but he'll be back, and you got Marcus Stroman behind deGrom, and you got a few other decent starters. Like, they look good. I think they're, you know, they should be a playoff team. We'll see if they, you know, can hang with the Braves in the NL East. But they've got a talent, and they've got a different energy about them. I don't know if it's new ownership or Francisco Lindor just being there every day, or just, you know, some of these younger players, you know, not feeling sort of the weight of kind of the Mets. But they look good. They're a fun team to watch. Like, for, I think an impartial observer would say that the Mets are an interesting team.
I'm good with Frankie Lindor and Carlos Carrasco being out of the AL Central also. I think that that benefits the Royals. Okay, before we let you go, Rustin Dodd is with us from The Athletic. So, and I know that this is far away and you may not know the answer. So when the Royals make the playoffs, will you come and cover them in Kansas City since you have ties to the town, or how will that work? Will you?
I think I could finagle that.
Okay.
And,
thank you, my friend.
And get away back. Yeah.
I just want you to make plans.
I think there's a way. Yeah.
Is there anything we enjoy reading your works? Is there anything you're working on right now that you could tease on the show?
What am I work? I mean, I've got a couple things that are kind of 50-50 if they're ever will see the light of day. Mm-hmm. But I don't necessarily want to pump those up too much, but we'll see. I don't know. This is not a great talk radio topic, but I did a story on Zach Greinke during spring training that
was
anybody wants to go back and
fantastic
go back
article.
And just, basically, we talked to like 15 of Zach Greinke's catchers, you know, a ton of them from you know, from through the years, including a lot of Royals guys, obviously John Buck and Brian Peña and Jason Kendall and those guys. But the stories people tell about Zach Greinke, it's like you don't really even have to try very hard. If you ask anybody who's been around Zach, it's like, hey, do you have any Zach Greinke stories? Like, they're just hilarious. So if anybody hasn't read that or wants to go check it out, I'd go for it. I think you'll be entertained.
I enjoyed that quite a bit, especially the Brian Peña ice cream story. Go check that out.
Did you know that of all the players that Nate covered and spent time around, Zach Greinke was his favorite? Did you put that in your story?
I've heard that. I've heard that.
Mm-hmm.
I've always heard that it was Nate really loved Zach Greinke, was right up there with Roy Williams.
wow. Rustin does know what's going on. You still do have the pulse in KC. I like that.
Those were the two guys, his favorite interviews.
Right. Greg Marshall also is part of that. There's an elite group.
It's my Mount Rushmore friendly folks.
Who's the fourth then, if it's Mount Rushmore?
Man. Oh, boy, I have to think about that. I don't want to just jump to an answer on that without...
Rustin, what else besides delicious cold-cut sandwiches, what else do you miss most about Kansas City?
Well, I miss my parents. Yeah. I don't know. I'm sure my dad might have figured out a way to listen to this, so I had to drop that in.
Well, if he is, let's say hello to Frank Dodd. hello, Frank. How are you?
Yeah, well, they listen every day, I think, or close to it. They're loyal listeners of the Border Patrol.
Well, maybe I should apologize to Frank Dodd.
Yes, we should all apologize.
I'm sorry. So,
but the food and the, you know, people and family for sure. I don't know what else I miss.
I didn't hear Jake. Did you? Is he on the list or no?
Like you said, the food.
Pee what you miss. All right, I'm just asking, you know. And you could have said, and I'm not asking, you could have said, hey, boy, do I miss joining the Border Patrol in studio on a regular basis, because I thought that maybe would have stuck out to you.
He's a truth teller, though.
You know? I'm not trying to tell you what to say. That's fine.
Rustin's silence. There's
I think Rustin just slammed the phone down. Is Rustin gone? Oh, he's still there. Good.
I'm still here.
Thank you.
His response was very much like Mike McFarland's when we asked him about moving the mound back a foot.
Right. Mike didn't like that. Well, Rustin, thank you very much for the time. We appreciate it. And please Would you let us know if Yankees fans start throwing any more things at their own players at games? We'd love to have you on to talk about it.
I will glad to do it anytime, and thank you for having me, Stephen, and Nate, and Jake.
Rustin Dodd is fantastic. Thank you, Rustin. And now Tampa just put it on the Yankees, so now they come to Kansas City.
Well, now they have to play a real team.
Ooh. There, that's what
not
I like.
Not some washed up.
That's what I like.
Bunch of prima donnas.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I want to hear. Don't be trying to lift up the Yankees. Tear them down when they're vulnerable.
Royals, right? Yeah,
their fans are pelting them with baseballs. And Rustin's, I don't even know where the hell the baseballs came from. It wasn't baseball night. They're just, yeah, bring a baseball just in case they piss you off. And so that's how it works. But I am excited about Royals and Rays. That's going to be a good test for the Royals as they take on Tampa tonight out at Kauffman Stadium with Danny Duffy on the mound against Josh Fleming. Back after this on WHB.